The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Yeah, indeed, we're live. You know, as long as you're inside today, it's kind of a beautiful day. But if you stick your nose outside, it's kind of damp and cold and wet. And we got that silliness. But, you know, sunshine's always in your heart. So just make sure that you're smiling all day long and you'll make it happen. Seriously, though. Yeah, it's kind of miserable outside. But listen to the program. We'll make you happier. We'll tell you what to do to even make it even better than that. We have an interesting program for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about, I'll use the term biohacking because I've seen so much of that around and so many different things. But what we're going to talk about is the one thing that none of us have enough of. And I say that kind of across the board, except for maybe you're a newborn and, you know, that's all you do. What we're saying is sleep. And to talk about sleep and what we can do about it naturally, because if you don't have enough sleep, all that kind of craziness are going to happen. None other than my favorite person, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Welcome, Doc. Good to see you after the holidays. Hope it was a great one.
Yeah, I think people got their sleep from their overfill of foods and their tryptophan from their jerky. And so, yeah, this is a good weekend to lead into this.
I know, right? We sit around and you watch people sitting there comatose afterwards, and nobody realizes that the thing that does that is an amino acid called tryptophan, but we'll probably touch upon that as we go through the program. But sleep deprivation is a serious situation because it can cause all kinds of problematic conditions that begin to show up and also add to the body's inability in so many different ways. So why don't we start out and simply talk about, you know, why is sleep so important? You know, back in the day when I was first in practice, I was the guy that had to do everything all the time, no matter what it was. And I kept pushing, and sometimes 5 hours of sleep. There were nights that were 4.5. Sometimes, you know, a good night for me was 6 and I'd be out cold, but that wasn't good either. So let's stop. You know, or start the program with, why do we have to sleep?
Right. And there's also been new research that says 4 hours of sleep for a week will change your genetic codes. And what it really is doing is turning down the brain cells that work with our memory and our ability to function, and turning up the genes that basically work with chronic inflammatory disease and cardiovascular disease. So, you know, I'm glad you made it to where you are now, because
that's my, be quiet. Be nice. You have to put up with me tomorrow.
The good thing is that, you know, we as mammals are the only mammals that basically deprive ourselves of sleep. All other mammals basically know when to go to sleep and they know how to heal themselves because they know kind of innately. Mother Nature said, you shouldn't be doing this non-sleeping thing. You should be going to bed, you know, when it gets dark. So the fact that we push ourselves the way we do and the stress that we currently have and the diet that we have and all these other factors that kind of get thrown into the mix of sleeping and insomnia and all of the different sleep issues and disorders that go along with it, you know, it leaves us in a society where we're always sleep deprived. We're always trying to catch up, which we can't do. And then we're always trying to kind of go, well, I'll sleep, you know, when I'm dead. I'll sleep later on. Well, that doesn't work out so well because we become less and less productive and less healthy at the same time. So we see this happen over and over again for multiple different conditions that they just get worse when you don't have a chance to rest first. And then also have a chance to basically kind of repair and reorganize as well, too.
You know, there was a time when I was much younger and I was trying to build a practice and developing what we have today and lecturing all over the country at the time and then extending into the world. I would never say no to anybody or anything. Yeah, I can get it done. Not a problem. I would work, you know, 80, 85, 90 hours a week and then go to the gym and work out. And I thought I was doing myself a favor. And I was in great shape and doing well, but it came a time where, you know, I paid the piper. But let's talk about what happens when you don't get enough sleep. And I know this Wednesday evening, this is going to be the topic of our in-house presentation. And I want to remind everybody, we start at 6 o'clock. So it's a little easier in getting home and the like. So if you'd like to register for this class on sleep, simply call 703-698-7117 or go online and register at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. But anyway, Dr. Pina, let's get into what happens? What's the outcome? What are we really producing when we push like they're thinking that I'm in great shape, I'm doing well, I have my cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go?
Well, that seems to work well for the short term. It's like you're saying, it's the long term when it really catches up to us. And because we don't have a chance to basically take all those new experiences, new things we've learned, and really integrate them into the brain and kind of, you know, when we talk about neuroplasticity and the fact that we're always learning new things and we have to kind of figure out how they all connect together, without sleep, without that sleep cycle, the deep sleep and the REM sleep, we basically don't have a chance to kind of let the body heal and rest to have that productive next day. But we also have to think about, when we don't sleep, we don't want to do things the next morning either. We're too tired. We don't want to exercise. We won't want to have a normal day. So our regularity has a lot to do with what we're doing during the daytime and what has to happen at nighttime as well for sleep. So there's a lot going on, but our immune system gets to repair, our cardiovascular system and circulatory system repairs. Even our hormones have that shift too. And these cycles are not something that's unnormal. The circadian rhythm is something that we're built in with. So we basically have to give it the love that it needs to, so in order to fix us so that we can be just as productive.
You know, some people, many of us, we go to bed at nighttime, we're sitting there, we're starting to doze off. And I want to get into later on, you know, the circumstances of how we should end our day, because we don't do it the right way and we put a lot of things into position. So here's the question. So everything has a rhythm to it. Everything has a natural cycle. Sleep does as well. Animals, when the sun goes down, most animals go to sleep, except for foxes and things like that. They're nocturnal creatures, and they're up running around all the time. But when that sun goes down, most often we should be going to sleep. And some people do go to sleep. But all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4 hours later, they wake up, they're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and they're done for the night. They're doing their best effort. They're trying to go to sleep. They're trying to get that rest, but they can't do it. Why?
Well, there are some rare, rare people who have that very short latency sleep phase where they can do okay for 4, 5, or 6 hours. And as we age, we need usually less sleep, but we get it in different intervals. We get more of our deep sleep in the front, and we get less of our REM sleep later on. But what's interesting is when you look at that waking at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a lot of other factors not involved with our sleep hormones that kick in at that time. We have blood sugar changes. We have stressors throughout the day. In Chinese medicine, we talk about that usually being the liver time or the lung time. So now we're dealing with emotions like grief and anger and fear and going over, you know, the restless thoughts in our head. So there's a lot of different things that are going on at that time that wake us up. And basically we're getting this cortisol kick that says you should get up and do something right now. But the problem is we can't do that. We're not built to do that. We're built to get a longer period of sleep. Now, back in the day, I think it was like 18th century, they used to talk about this diurnal sleep patterns where people would actually get up and they would walk around and do things for like 2 or 3 hours, but then they would go back to sleep. So they're getting their rest in different ways. But when we see those patterns happen in patients that come in, which is pretty common, what we have to look for are the other factors that are involved in their sleep cycle and not just how many hours of sleep they're getting, what time they're going to bed, and what time they're waking up in the morning.
You know, you mentioned something that most people don't think about is that emotional pathway. You know, we go to sleep, we're knocked out cold, but in Chinese medicine, Eastern medicine, each organ system has an emotion that's related to it. So we have, you know, for example, the kidneys have to do with courage and fear, that the liver and the gallbladder have to do with anger, something of that nature. The lung has to do with grief. And those energies are the highest at nighttime. And that's, you're very right on track. Those are the things that will wake us up if we're habituating those situations, that we're chewing on them, so to speak. But the other thing biochemically is if we go to sleep and we pop up and we're awake and clear-headed and ready to go, that's often a cortisol surge. And what causes that to take place? I mean, cortisol should wake us up, but not till, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours later.
Yeah, what couldn't raise cortisol? That's the big question. If that's a million-dollar question right there. Like, if we just kind of keep it nice and level, that's why so many patients, when we come in to the office and we have the cortisol talk with them, we're measuring it to see exactly what's going on. So that helps us come up with the right therapies for them and the right time to utilize it. But that cortisol will kind of kick in, and it's natural, like you mentioned, but it shouldn't come into later. But when your body's hungry, when it's stressed out and thinking about other things, when it's too cold or too warm, when you have muscle tightness or pain, especially chronic pain, the body is very aware of it. It starts to come out of that deep sleep and starts going, you know, something's just not right. We should get up and do something about that. And so you start getting these patterns of cortisol going, you know, maybe we should check in with ourselves. And all of a sudden, now you know you're in a pattern of waking up all the time. I always remember there was a patient who used to have a monitor on a parent who was in the apartment next to them. And, you know, if the parent got up and walked around, her buzzer would go off. And so she'd have to wake up and she'd go check on the parent to see how they were doing, right? So the parent passed away, but you know what her body did? Those cortisol spikes were still in place years later. So she was still waking up, ready to go out and check for someone who wasn't there. So we innately get these like spikes of cortisol that are built into our system that become habitual to us so that it doesn't allow us to have that normal sleep. So we have to kind of break that cycle and tell the body it's okay to rest and calm down.
You know, you talked about pain and you also talk about food and so forth. And, you know, to be clear for our listeners, what we're talking about is making sure that the body has adequate amounts of protein because that modulates blood sugar regulation within the system. We're not talking about carbohydrates. We're not talking about a dessert before we go to bed or anything of that nature or even a drink because that'll wake us up even faster because it spikes and then crashes blood sugar and then cortisol spikes. So the thing that we have to be aware of is that we have to keep a balance. If we eat, say 6 o'clock at nighttime, 6:30, but we don't go to bed till about 11 o'clock at night, the chances are we're probably going to wake up in the middle of the night because we don't have enough protein to stabilize that rhythm that you've pointed at a couple times and subsequently wake up. So we have to make sure the dietary, and then that chronic pain cycle is really something that's important to be aware of. I've had patients that they want to just maintain their neurological integrity of their body. They get chiropractic treatment. They get acupuncture, whatever they're going to get. And all of a sudden they say, you know, I don't know if this has to do, but I'm sleeping better. I said, yeah, your body's been putting up with a lot of things for so long. And now you don't have that discomfort. You don't have that struggle, if you will, that's going on. As we get into the program, I want to talk a little bit. I mentioned, you know, biohacking, but we'll save that for the second part of the program and talk about some of the small little touches that people can do. We just talked about one, but we're coming up to a break. This is a fun program, because it helps so many people if they just made some minor changes. But this Wednesday evening, you're going to be able to get the full Monty, if you will, and really understand how you can put these pieces together. 6 o'clock this Wednesday evening. We'll give you all the details when we come back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we are. You can give us a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're talking about sleep and what happens when you don't get enough of it. And my guest, somebody who you've heard more than a few times, Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine. And we are picking this piece apart because so many of us are suffering the side effects of not enough sleep. And we talked earlier about inflammatory reactions and disease processes and so forth. Dr. Pina, welcome back. You know, I want to talk a little bit about those conditions. And then the second half of the program, we're going to get into a little bit of, you know, can we modulate? What can we do about them and so forth? But, with not enough sleep, obviously you mentioned inflammatory levels. We get a lot of swelling. Let's just talk about immune system generally straight up. What happens if we don't sleep? Are we more susceptible? Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference? Does the body, you know, alter its healing process? What are we looking at when somebody's only sleeping maybe, you know, 5-6 hours a night?
Well, basically during that time, you know, like I said, we're hitting that reset button so that way we can digest, our parasympathetic system, that rest digest system can really kick in. And during that time, we basically are helping to rebuild our immune system and especially our natural killer cells, decrease our certain cytokines, which are kind of our inflammatory markers and stuff. And by doing that, we can kind of help to heal the body during our sleep process because we have enough energy put towards that. We don't have to worry about walking around, so we don't need to spend energy digesting things. We don't need to spend energy walking around or thinking about things. So we're in this optimal state to allow things to happen. And what's crazy is we think about inflammatory factors. There are some inflammatory factors built into our body that actually promote sleep. Anything that basically is promoting sleep as an inflammatory factor is working in our benefit for the immune system. Other ones try to make sure that we don't, if we have mucus, say, we don't cough on and congest and stop breathing during our cycle too, so it wakes us up. So our immune system has a chance to be put back into balance and basically help kind of build itself so it's using up as much energy as it can during that time, which during the daytime we don't always have. We're worried about everything else going on. And where the immune system has a lot to do with the digestive tract and where we make our immune function, our immune factors, you know, we think about, you know, mulling over food and having it sit there and process and go over that. Well, we do the same thing with our emotions too. We're mulling over emotions at the same time. So if our bodies are constantly thinking about the next thing that has to happen, it's got to use it at a certain price. It's going to stop allowing the immune system and the digestive tract and our sleep processes to really benefit and function.
Here's one for you, whether it's the chicken or the egg. How about people who get up in the middle of the night to have to go to the bathroom? And, you know, they're sound asleep. All of a sudden they wake up because that bladder's stretching. And they get up, they go to the bathroom, they go back, and they fall back to sleep. Is that interruptive sleep pattern problematic?
Well, it's interesting. If someone's doing it 2, 3, 4 times, yes, absolutely. Because now they're losing sleep throughout the day. And really, we shouldn't be waking up during the middle of the night anyway. But some people just have a weak bladder, or we've had a lot of talk with patients about how they'll take a lot of supplements at nighttime and they need water to basically take their supplements. So they just increase the amount of fluid going into their bladder. But the key thing with this is that, and you kind of mentioned it, is they're going back to sleep afterwards. So it's a very brief disturbance in their sleep cycle, just as if they almost have a light, mild sleep, and then they're able to go back to sleep afterwards. So if that's happening once, it's not as much of an issue. It shouldn't happen at all, but we can change the factors before they go to bed, so they might give them a little bit of release. When someone's waking up 4 or 5 times, then we know we've got more of an issue. And it's probably more of a metabolic issue than actually a sleep issue.
A piece I want to touch upon as, again, going into the next part of the program, is at nighttime between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning, the pineal produces its highest level melatonin. And if sleep is disrupted at that time frame, does that alter melatonin production? Number two, does it disrupt the targeting of melatonin as we need it for autoimmune conditions and regulatory pathways and hormones and so forth?
Good question. I would definitely say, you know, if we're getting up and say it's not just to go to the bathroom, but say we get up because we're restless and we go to the other room and we turn on our computer or our laptop or our screens and we're getting that bright light, that's absolutely going to have an issue because all of a sudden we're telling the body it's daytime again. But we're going to see small peaks within the melatonin pathway that we'll be able to catch up with it. You know, when we think about when we add melatonin in, when it's getting dark at nighttime, it's starting to go on the rise and it should maintain, but it's not the only hormone that basically keeps us asleep. So just focusing on melatonin may be where people are going wrong is up too.
I guess where I was going to go with that is, you know, in today's world and what we've gone through the last 2.5 years, people have been very stressed out. And, you know, their emotional tidal wave has gone up and down like nothing. And I don't think I've ever seen in 45 years of practice. Maybe back in the day during the Vietnam era, which was, you know, my war, if you will. But here you have, you know, people are stressed. They're angry about what's taking place. So we know that's just into that, also that phase of melatonin production and so forth. So my curiosity has gotten the best of me, and which I begin to see with a lot of our patients, is that if they're waking up, and that's, and again, going to what you said, they flick on the light, they can't sleep and so forth, or they're getting up to having to go to the bathroom and they flick on lights to go to the bathroom. Now that cycle is being disrupted. And so, you know, I think that we have to look at multiple pieces. It's a very interesting balancing act, if you will. We're coming up to a break pretty quickly here, and I want to get into that because it's something that we're seeing more and more of, if you will. People are being, you know, their lives, their immune systems, their health is being changed dramatically simply because of the fact that we have a problem. We're coming up to a break. We got to go. So we'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you always do at Sundays. You know, we're bringing you information, things that you can apply and try. And we're talking about sleep today, sleep deprivation and all kinds of little things that, you know, cause you not to rest and your immune system crashes and things of that nature. We're talking about dietary pathway problems, how you sleep, when you sleep. You know, did you get enough protein during the day? We went through Thanksgiving and we said, you know, that comatose that we all go into is due to tryptophan. Love to talk to you. It's real easy. Just call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And if you're on a medication that is not the most supportive, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit and see if, you know, medications can cause an issue. It's important that we understand what it is that we're doing to ourselves and how we're causing other things, if you will, to be problematic. But sleep is critical. Sleep is one of the most important things that, you know, that we do for our body. And we talked a little bit about what happens when we eat improperly. If you drink too much alcohol, have a glass of wine, you can kind of expect to wake up in the middle of the night. Any kind of alcohol will do that. If you eat too much junk, if you have a whole lot of sugar in your diet, you know, big dessert before you go to bed, you're sitting there watching a movie, whatever it is, you're going to go comatose and then you're going to wake up after that. You have to check the environment. Do you leave any kind of lights on? There's going to be problematic with that. Dr. Stephanie Pina is my guest today. He'll be your host this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about sleep problems and the disturbances that come about. And I use the term disturbances, talking about your health and why you can't heal and the other things that show up. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Let's get into this area a little deeper. Let's start talking about what happens when we take certain medications to sleep with, if you will. And there's a bunch of them on the marketplace. So my question becomes, is it contributory to a good, restful, restorative, reparative sleep, or is it destructive? And you, if you can, and you may not want to venture there, which ones are the worst?
Ooh, okay. We get controversial now. Not that this show ever gets controversial, but especially in the sleep category. So, you know, I want to start off by saying when it comes to the sleep meds, if you look at a lot of the researchers that are out there now, so Matt Walker, and who wrote Why We Sleep, is one of the biggest kind of, I'd say, social media darlings on sleep right now. There's another gentleman actually out of Charlottesville named Chris Winters. Sleep med and true sleep professionals don't like sleeping pills. They don't like the medications. So they're not the ones actually giving them out as much as we think they are. It kind of comes down to a little bit more of the people who are, we'll say, primary care and pain management. And the reason why they're not even just giving out sleeping pills is because they're giving out other types of medication that their off-label use or their secondary use causes drowsiness or sleepiness. So they're not really treating the sleep issues. They're treating other things. So this is when you start to see things like anti-seizure medications, antidepressants, pain medications, all being used, medications that help us with addictions. Those being used to kind of help calm down the nervous system, but they just happen to put you to sleep at the same time. So now they're the newest rage and sleep medications, but they're not being used really to promote sleep. So the long story short with it is a lot of them are not really helping you go to sleep any faster. If they are, they're helping it for like 8 to 11 minutes, I think is the average. Wow. And they're not necessarily giving you more duration at the end of the day, because they might give you about 10 more minutes in the morning. So you're having to deal with all the side effects that those sleep medications have to deal with and the addictiveness to them, but only to get 10 minutes on one end and 10 minutes on the other end. So they really don't do what they're supposed to do. And when they're given out, such things like benzodiazepams and non-benzodiazepams and SSRIs and there's Ramelton, which is basically the we'll say the prescription version of melatonin, essentially. When they're given out, they're supposed to be used for short-term uses only. And how many times do we have people that have been on sleep medications for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years? They have it at home, so they said, oh, I'm not sleeping well this week, so I'm just going to go back to my old medication. So there's a lot of weird things that kind of go on with prescription medications. But there's so many risks after the other side of it, including rebound sleep and dizziness and sleep during the daytime. So you're seeing actually the use of sleep medications, believe it or not, have a rise in osteoporosis and risk of fracture falls. Why? Because people are dizzy and they're not waking up during the day because they're still medicated and they're falling more. So there's a lot of other things to think about with these sleep medications other than, is it simply going to put me to sleep? And then, you know, is it going to give me more sleep in the morning? There's a lot of the sleep hygiene things that can be used, and we're going to definitely go over those on Wednesday, that make sense. They seem so easy that people want to blow them off, but they make sense more so than using medications that's not supposed to really affect your sleep at all. And then it does. Now, we're told don't take medications and drive. Don't use heavy machinery. Well, these are the types of medications that people are seeing more and more use, and then they have to go out and do stuff. So, yeah, no. The pharmacy is always very interesting in some of these. And so it's interesting when I can look back at some of the people who this is their specialty and they're saying don't do them. So it's not just us. It's the specialists right. that are saying don't do this and look for the other causes of why someone's not sleeping. And are they having sleeplessness or are they fatigued in the morning or they're just not getting the quality that they need to get?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that when you look at some of the medications that are out there, if they really truly understand what the sleep cycle does, they're looking at something that can affect serotonin. And serotonin is a downregulator. So is something called GABA. And the two of them is what puts us into that sleep pattern. Anything that disrupts that or doesn't keep it at that level. That's why, you know, we were kiddingly talking about, you know, the turkey comatose, you know, the last couple of days. And when you eat so much turkey, you're producing tryptophan converts into 5-HTP, which is going to cause serotonin to spike. And that's once spikes up, then you want to go to sleep. People are stressed out. So they're burning up their B complexes. So they're using B complex and things like theanine, which is another neurotransmitter. And, if those things are adequate, then they have balanced what I talked about a minute ago, GABA. So those are the regulatory pathways. You don't want to do it artificially if you can do it on a basis of resetting the system, if you will. But we'll go into, we want to increase serotonin. We want to keep dopamine, which is your fight flight. You know, I want to go out and tackle the world. That is going to increase because of anxiety patterns and pain patterns and a lot of the things that you were talking about. People that go to bed and have a cup of coffee, you know, beforehand, or they have a strong cup of tea, it's still the caffeine, that's going to upregulate dopamine. And even if it, you know, doesn't do it as strongly as some other things, it will enough that it causes a problem. So let's talk a little bit about what the room should feel like, look like for and why that has an effect on sleep.
Well, the main thing with your serotonin thing is that serotonin can convert into melatonin. Right. So it's right down that pathway. So we're trying to promote the sleepiness But then we need the external clues, and that's where sleep hygiene and like the room comes into play. So a lot of times what's interesting, and we have a couple cases that I'm going to go over from the office of showing you how we deal with this in real life, that one is literally called like the hot flasher, because it can talk with the person who goes to bed, whether male or female, and they get really warm at nighttime and why that's waking them up. Well, if you think about it, we can look at the room first and go, how hot is that room? If that room is really hot, your brain almost thinks it's the middle of the day. The sun is up. I should be up and doing things. One of the things that happens with melatonin is it decreases our own body temperature. So it's in the first few stages of sleep when we really start to go through the light sleep and get into our deeper sleep, it's bringing down our heart rate. It's bringing down our breath. It's bringing down our body temperature because we have to make it feel like it's nighttime in the room. So not only is it dark in there, and we don't have the electronics around, but we have to bring the temperature down a lot cooler than we normally think so. So I think this is why there was a rise in popularity with these beds that have like the cooling systems in them too, because
right. They're
essentially kind of cooling your body from the underneath, right? Which doesn't make any sense when you think of a weighted blanket on top of you as far as being like helping you with sleep as well too, because you're adding more heat in there as well. So you got to really cool the room down then. But people really want, you know, the room to be between about 65 and 67 degrees or so. So definitely under 70. Because it's going to make the body feel like it's nighttime. You're in that dark cave like we were when we were at the Neanderthals, and it's time to go to sleep. It's dark time. Or perfect example with the coolness and also the darkness. If anyone's ever gone camping, you know, even if you're like live by your alarm clock and stay up all night, right? If you go out into the woods and you camp one night and you're not there with your electronics and you're actually in an actual tent under the stars, right? You will have no idea what time it is, because as soon as it gets dark, your body starts going, it feels like it's midnight. Or when the time changes, we go from daylight savings time. How much of us do we look outside and we see how dark it is and go, it's got to be 8, 9 o'clock at nighttime and it's 4:30 in the afternoon.
I know.
So our body, and this year for some reason it's even worse. I don't know what it is. But our body responds to the dark and the coldness the way it does when we say, okay, I want to increase that melatonin. And we want to increase the sleepiness. And so we have to balance that so that way we can get to 8, 9 o'clock at night to go to sleep. But essentially we notice that we sleep a little bit more turns winter time because it's cooler too. So there's a lot of things that we throw off with keeping our rooms too warm. We do look at hormone response as well too. We look at that stress and cortisol response. If someone's getting warm at night, why is that happening? It's probably another sign of something else as well too.
You know, it's interesting. Winter time comes and we artificially disrupt that pattern, because we come in, we flick all the lights on, we turn on the television, you know, we're on our cell phones, which is like the worst thing that we could do because it disrupts that whole pineal pathway. And then we go to bed with our cell phones, and we go to bed with our computer systems on and these ambient night lights and so forth. It needs to be black, my friends. Totally black. It has to be cool. Better warm up with blankets, but leave the temperature cool around you. And there's a lot of little things that you can do. Let me ask you one question about pain. So we have patients who have suffered car accidents, and their heads are ricocheted back and forth off their seats and sometimes off a window and so forth, even though they didn't break anything. But now we got an impact to the head. We have an impact. And there's something called a neurological memory that is embedded based on anything that happens to us, whether it's emotional or structural or whatever it is. How much can that affect people's sleep patterns, even though that had happened 10, 15, 20 years ago?
It definitely can still have an impact. And that's why we have to look outside of, I'll say, the bedroom, as far as looking for why someone's not sleeping well or they're not getting enough quality sleep. Because most people wouldn't think that something like that, that kind of injury would have any kind of pain or any kind of effect. But, you know, if we take it down to like the football players now, like we wouldn't have thought way back in the day that the concussions that you see the professional football players had anything to do on their mind and mental. And now it's just, now you can look at everything's changed and they have concussion helmets, right? Because they want to make sure that things stay safe. So we could definitely see an issue. And there's going to be certain ways to check that out. That's going to be, you know, specialists or like what we do at the office can definitely kind of see if there's more of a pain pattern or not to it. But I also see when people have injuries and not just brain and neck injuries, but throughout their body, where they have things like restless legs or other things that keep them awake at night, you know, there's not as much circulation going on when we're not moving, correct? Like, we don't have the muscle control. We can't pump the blood through to the bottom part of our legs. So we get hot above and cold below in Chinese medicine, this was called. And so we have to work on circulation during the day, which anytime you have blood flow, qi flow, oxygen flow going throughout the body to help with a pain mechanism, you're also going to be able to help out with that nighttime sleep time as well too. So anything can affect your sleep patterns, but essentially it's trying to put you in the best possible place so you can get the quality of sleep you can. And there's even, you got to think of it, the fear of not sleeping. This is huge. How many people keep looking at their clocks, go, I looked at my clock at 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. Stop looking at your clocks. Like, that's half the battle, is you're going, I know I'm not going to sleep tonight. So if you tell yourself you're not going to sleep tonight,
you're not sleeping.
Probably going to sleep tonight. I mean, what's your thing, you're saying that you say to us all the time, if you think you can, you can't. If you think you can't, how this applies to sleep as well too. So there's different ways of kind of encouraging positive sleep talk that helps us get through those times as well too. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people suffering with chronic pain. So their medications that they're on, or even their supplements are on, may not be working through that extended period throughout the night. So they feel like, I got to wake up and take my meds or else I'm going to be in pain and I'm not going to sleep. So we have to put all those factors of your health together instead of just looking at your hour duration.
Yeah, that sounds so important. And most people don't understand that when a patient comes in, we have to take a history that goes back to the beginning. You know, the question becomes, when was the very last time you remember sleeping well on a regular basis? Not just, oh, I had one night that was great, but when was the last time that you were in a normal sleep pattern that was extensive, that you were sleeping? For some people, it goes back to when they were a kid. And then they went to college, or they went into a job, or they went into the military, or they got hit in the head. They got in a fight. They were in a car accident. I haven't slept well since my neck has been bothering me. All those things lead to disruption in what we call neuroregulatory pathways. And your brain is the recipient of all of that. Even dietary patterns, we know that the intestinal tract produces 75% to 80%, depending on the author that you read, of the neurotransmitters that the body needs, and your brain uses 80% of those. That tells you something. You have to look at all those pieces. If you're not willing to look at those pieces, then you're never going to fix the problem. We're coming up to a break. This is a fascinating program. This Wednesday evening, the last day of the month, the 30th of November, Dr. Pina will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon. Make sure you tell your friends about the program. We really appreciate you. These programs are designed to give you the most cutting-edge information so you can help yourself, and we really want to reach out and thank our men and women in service for all that you do, because without you, we wouldn't be us. Appreciate you guys, and anything that I can do for you, please let me know. All you have to do is get a hold of me at RozelleCare.com or DrTomRozelle.com. Either one, I will immediately get back to you. Just let me know what you need and what I can do to facilitate that. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, she'll be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Topic is going to be your sleep patterns and why you can't sleep and how to get back to normal regulatory sleep, improving your sleep. You know, a lot of us don't want to do that because we don't want to give up our bad habits. But if we don't get sleep regulated, we're going to suffer the consequences of things like diabetes and heart disease and cancer, neurocognitive disorders. And I'm sure Dr. Pina is going to go into those things in detail. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. What are you going to be doing on Wednesday evening? Why should people come and listen? How can they walk away with a better night's sleep?
Well, there's not a better time to discuss sleep because we're going into the darkness of the winter, and it kind of works on your side right now. We're going to use the sleep, the dark and the cold, to basically help you reset your sleep patterns for the rest of the year. And we're also timing wise coming off of the time change. So people have definitely felt the effects of that. And so to me, we want to understand why we sleep, but also the importance of why we sleep so that we know why we have to make the changes that we do. So if we're hesitant to make changes and we don't understand what the heck's going on, we can basically have a better understanding. It's like when we walk our patients through why we do the treatments that we do. So they understand it, not just, oh, I go for my chiropractic visit. Oh, I go for my acupuncture visit. Sleep is definitely important, and we see this almost in every single patient that comes in some way, shape, or form. And it's okay to have a bad night's sleep. Don't get me wrong. But what it is when it becomes a chronic pattern, there are things that we can do along the way to relax the body, to get you in the best possible place, to make sure you have the nutrients in your system that might help sleep, but the nutrients in your system that also are there for a certain reason. We're going to basically talk about being sleepy versus being fatigued. Those are two different things. And so one is a normal condition and one is not. And so we want to make sure that the sleep and the sleep quality we get allows us to function the best we possibly can during the day. But what we do during the day can also have the best possible effect on the nighttime as well, too. So we're going to cover a lot of different things in a different way that we normally do. And also cover the interaction that things like melatonin and cortisol and drugs and medication all play together so that we know what helps us and what hurts us.
You know, a patient comes in, they tell me that they feel like they're brain dead most of the time. I know that they're not sleeping or their sleep cycle is disturbed in some way. And that's one of the distinguishing factors, but I know that you'll get into that. I'm not going to give the baby away, if you will, right now. So I'm going to let you deal with that as best you can. But you know, when somebody's not sleeping well, their patterns are not regular. They're not consistent. They don't go to bed. And here's another thing that most people don't think about. On weekends, I'm going to catch up with my sleep on the weekend, and they sleep longer. They stay in bed. They force themselves to stay down. That's not good either.
The sleep is not a bank system. You cannot deposit more sleep into the system and catch up later and then try to cash it out. It's not going to work that way. If anything, you're going to throw your sleep cycle off even more. So, but what you can do is play around with very short naps if you have to. But someone who's got a major sleep problem, that even creates an issue. So that's why they have to talk with people who know what they're doing. And I'll tell you, from doing acupuncture for so long at the Roselle Center for Healing, you know, people come in, they get nice and relaxed. We've got nice, cool music. The dim room, you know, they've got their acupuncture needles in. Half of them fall asleep all the time. It's the middle of the day. One, they shouldn't be doing that, but that might be the only 25 minutes they get in the middle of the day to relax. So what that tells me is most of us are walking around not relaxed. So why would we think we're going to do that for 8 more hours if we have a trouble doing it for 25 minutes? So when I observe people sleeping, it's because it's when I come back in to take their needles out and they're already asleep. But when people come in and they're going, I've got too much stuff in my bedroom. There's too much chaos and stuff going on. We need to work on the stuff that you can do at home, as well as the things we can use to kind of help the sleep process kind of continue, because you should be able to do this on your own.
This is an opportunity for you to really get it together, my friends, and join Dr. Pina this Wednesday evening. Remember, 6 o'clock, call Roselle Center for Healing or register online. We're love to get you straight and get you regulated and get you to back to normal. See you next week. Remember, we continue to do this for one reason only. We love you all. Have a great Sunday.